Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Trocum. Frenchie's here. It's a Saturday edition of Formula One because I have been running around Indianapolis the last couple days at practice for the Indy 500. I'm in this little like recording booth in the back of the media center, which is super cool. And yeah, practice has already started. I didn't even watch practice one because I was doing interviews, but I don't think you did either, did you?
No, I didn't get up that early this morning, but I'll be watching practice two in about a half hour.
I probably will not, so we'll leave that to you. So let's start with trivia. Cody sent him in again. So guys, beat Cody because I don't want to keep saying his name in a positive light at the start of our episodes here. Who has the lowest racing finish in F1 history? Double points if you can name the track, or double points if you can name the Grand Prix, triple points if you can name the year.
Lowest finish?
Lowest racing finish. So lowest finishing position while still racing.
He's really doing like obscure, weird stuff. I'm going to have to start upping my game.
Do you want a hint?
Sure.
2011.
2011. The lowest finish. I'm not sure.
Narain Karthikeyan finished 24th at the European Grand Prix.
So that's the lowest anyone's ever finished in Formula One?
And still, like, crossed the, you know, I'm sure there's guys who finished 26th, but they crashed out or whatever.
Oh, okay. So it was not a DNF. He was actually racing till the end of the
Correct.
Okay. Well, Narain Karthikeyan was not necessarily known for his ability, I would say. I mean, I don't think he was awful, but I don't know. He was not in good equipment, and I don't think he really had the talent anyway. I think he finished in the points once.
Yeah, probably.
And it was at the 05 U.S. Grand Prix. I think he finished like fourth or something there.
Yeah, that doesn't count then. What's next?
So we've got a decent amount of news to get to before we preview Spain. And I'll start with, I guess, the proposal by New York City's mayor, Mayor Adams. He offered Eric Adams. He offered for F1 basically to come to New York and race on this island, Randall's and Ward's Island. Do you know where that is?
Isn't that Riker, like where the prison is?
I thought Riker's was on Riker's Island.
I don't mean where it is. I mean like next to it.
Oh.
Random.
Yeah, Randall's, I think so.
Like, it's in that same general vicinity. I'm looking at a map of this now. What, like, I feel like that's saying, like, yeah, you know, we're gonna put in the effort to, like, say we're offering a New York City race, but, like, we don't want, like, New York City to be impacted by it. So we're gonna give you this, like, kind of shitty area. You have to cross like six bridges just to get there.
Yeah,
there's some music festivals there, which are some pretty well-known music festivals, but like
two psychiatric hospitals and several homeless shelters, I'm reading.
I mean, what better place would you want, you know, a premier sporting event than, you know, a place where there's probably some landfills and smelly garbage.
Apparently, the island has a population of 1,600 people.
Whoa.
So most of it is parkland. I guess so. I mean, maybe it's nice. I don't know. I don't know much about it, but it looks like it's basically in between Manhattan and Queens. So I don't know. I think Formula E does a better job racing in Brooklyn than this would look.
As cool as I think a New York F1 race would be, you know, back on the East Coast, give me a chance to go home and, you know, maybe take the train up and cover it if the FAA would extend credentials to more than just the same people every weekend. But yeah, sorry, my throat's a little itchy. But I just feel like New York City is just not built to accommodate something like that. Like, Formula E is one thing. It's a cool series, and I am growing to really enjoy it, but it's not the same scale as F1. Yeah. So I just feel like it's just not right. Like, listen, I would love to say Philadelphia. Let's go to F1 in Philadelphia. Not a chance in hell that would make any sense to run it in the square streets of Philadelphia.
Baltimore Grand Prix for F1.
Oh my god.
They should go to Meadowlands. You know what? Just bring the Meadowlands track back and put Formula One on that. It's so narrow.
Yeah, you know, what could go wrong with these giant cars and the fact that I think there's a football stadium there now?
Hasn't there always been a football stadium there?
Well, the new stadium is where part of the racetrack used to be, I think.
Got it, okay.
Like, the new stadium that was built, I don't know, it's 10 or 15 years old at this point, but... Yeah.
Remember when Bernie was trying to get a race close to New York and there was like a site at Port Imperial in New Jersey that he was working on in like 2011?
God, no.
They were trying this. Anyway, Greg Maffei, is that how you say his name correctly? I've heard it pronounced a lot of different ways. The president of Liberty Media downplayed the chances of adding a fourth American event and basically shut this idea down before it even got off the ground.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, he said he thinks it's very difficult and that Randall's Island is probably not our perfect venue. The reality is that street races in a place like New York are very, very, very hard. Las Vegas is one of the few places in the United States you could probably get a street race done. It has a different mentality. New York's a wonderful venue, but it's hard to see that they're going to shut Central Park down for us.
Yeah, so. I think that's the right path to take. I don't think it's worth it.
No, I don't either. I think this is Eric Adams seeing the hype around the Miami Grand Prix and trying to jump on the bandwagon. And I really don't think that New Yorkers would stand for streets being closed.
Yeah.
Right, next up on the list. Oh, next. Sorry. Go ahead. Okay. Next up on the list is the other big thing in the news is that Aston Martin, well, a lot of teams are coming to Spain with upgrades. Like almost every team I was reading has upgrades, yeah, and I'm not going to go through the whole list. What's up?
Every team except Haas. Every team has an upgrade, at least one upgrade since Haas, yes.
But they're bringing it at France, is what they said, right?
I guess. I don't know, to be honest with you. I'm always skeptical. I'm still, like, a little fatigued from the last 3 years of Haas to, like, believe anything they say. So, like, I'll wait. And, like, literally every other team is like, we should probably do Spain. And Haas is like, we're good. But, like, are you? Now you're going to fall behind a little bit. Or maybe fall behind a little bit if the upgrades work. I shouldn't jump to conclusions like that. But doom and gloom. Sorry.
I hope they don't crack a chassis.
Yeah, that would be not good.
It's going to be my new catchphrase. So the big story is that Aston Martin has been accused of essentially copying Red Bull, and we know that Aston Martin is pretty good at reverse engineering cars because they basically had the pink Mercedes in 2020 as Racing Point, but apparently they've been cleared by the FIA of any wrongdoing. The FIA found that Aston Martin complied with the regulations and their new updates are legal. They used CAD checks and I don't know. Apparently it says they confirmed the processes followed by Aston Martin were consistent with the rules and that the data and processes used to create the update were generated as a result of legitimate independent work.
Yeah, didn't they say, like, we saw wind tunnel data from this back in November? So, you know, hard to copy Red Bull at that point. Maybe Red Bull copied Aston Martin.
Yeah, maybe we're going to have Spygate part two.
Yeah. But I do enjoy the pettiness of Red Bull with the green Red Bull cans at the track this morning. I did see that on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Hopefully, this will be interesting if Aston Martin, I mean, if the designs converge, maybe they're just, you know, actually seeing what Red Bull saw in their development, and maybe they'll actually come up the grid a little bit, but it could be copying, but I don't know. I guess I'll believe the FIA.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll take the FIA on this one. I don't think there's any shadiness going on now, at least with what we know.
Aston Martin always seems kind of shady to me, just because Lawrence Stroll, is basically a villain, and he just looks and acts like one. So yeah. I always am a little bit skeptical of their actions, because he seems he'd pretty much do anything to move up the grid.
Hard to argue that.
Fernando Alonso has apparently questioned the competence of F1's new race director and the stewards after Miami. I wonder why. Did he get a penalty? Oh, wait, two penalties? Oh, yeah.
So, first off, I'm pretty sure he's gotten summoned to the stewards already for that. I don't know if it's happened yet. So we're recording Friday mid-morning right before practice too. So I don't know if it's happened yet. But I just, like, I get it. You know, you're frustrated. But at the same time, like, I mean, he clearly deserved a penalty. So, and it happened 2 weeks ago. Like, why are you talking today? Like, you're just in there right now to stir up shit and, like, purposely, like, get people talking about something that happened 2 weeks ago. Like, there's zero to gain from whining about it today.
He's in, or yesterday, Spain, whenever it was, at his home track, so he's feeling bold. But he said that he believes that the penalty was unfair after he cut that corner and got the 5-second penalty. He says that it was incompetence from the steward. They were not very professional, I think, in Miami. I missed one corner, and then I gave back the time on the lap. But obviously, you miss one corner, there is the sector time just after that corner. So they saw the purple, and yeah, they took the decision without asking for any proof.
I got nothing. I have nothing nice to say.
He said it was very bad.
Fred's on my shit list this week.
It was very bad, and honestly, I mean, yeah, it's already in the past. Obviously, it's not, Fernando, but it's something that should not happen in Formula One with professionalism and standards Formula One has right now. This is not going to go over well.
Wait, can we take a quick time out here? I want to go back to Randall's and Ward's Island in New York City.
Go for it.
It is the relocation of hundreds of thousands of bodies from the Madison Square and Bryant Park graveyards. Obviously, Madison Square Garden is there now. Bryant Park is a very famous and picturesque park in New York City. So yeah, let's put the race where there's like tens of thousands of corpses underground. Sounds so super picturesque to me. Definitely the great place for a racetrack.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. with each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.
And it's there is a lot of negative thing. I can't say most of these on a public episode, but there is a lot, all the way back to like the late 1700s, early 1800s, there's a lot of negative stuff associated with this island. But yeah, let's put an F1 race there. Okay, let's go back to Fred. Sorry.
No, I think we're done with Fred. I don't know what else there is okay to say, unless you have something else about that. I think he's just being whiny as usual, and he's especially whiny this year, it seems like.
Yes, I agree.
All right, the last little bit of news before we give you guys the times for Spain, even though I guess we're recording a little bit late, so it may not matter.
Yeah, and just the race. Qualifying and race time, yeah.
Okay. Formula One will not replace the canceled Russian Grand Prix. So we're going to have 22 race season this year, not 23. And there was a speculation that we were going to have a double header in Singapore, but that's not going to happen. So we'll just have 22 races. And I guess they were considering Qatar as well, but or Qatar, however you appropriately say that. I didn't never know.
Canceled.
But there we go. We're not going to have the record-breaking 23 race season, just 22. So it's going to be easy on the F1 teams this season.
Oh, God. Thank God.
Spain. Are we excited for this race with the new track layout-ish?
Let's just put it this way. We are so not excited for Spain. It was very difficult to find the motivation in the midst of an exciting Indy 500 week to even find the time to want to record this, because I'm exhausted. I've been, you know, at the track for 12 hours a day, every day except like Monday and Sunday and Monday. And I just don't care about Spain. I don't think it's going to make any difference until they fix that last chicane. Otherwise, it's still a garbage layout. And what other negative things can I say to make this real doom and gloom? If Spain doesn't go off the F1 calendar, F1 is just going to fall off the face of the map in the next 6 months. Okay, no, that's an exaggeration. But yeah, I'm
you
not
sound
really
like a YouTube personality from the IndyCar side of things saying stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, I just figured, you know, might as well just swing for the fences here and see what happens. But it's a crappy race. It's really disappointing to have Miami with all the pomp and circumstance and excitement to go into Spain, which is like on a scale of 1 to 10 excitement, like a 2. And then you go to Monaco, which is like a -2 excitement, because like Monaco qualifying is awesome because yeah, that's the only time all weekend there's anything that happens that's exciting. So I just feel like it's like such a letdown after Miami, like May, like, yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Given that excitement, let's preview the race and give you guys the times, because I bet everyone's super amped to watch the race now.
Yeah. I hope you really enjoy the race after I just shit all over it.
Watch it end up being good somehow because we did this.
I don't know. No, me either.
Anyway, we've got qualifying on Saturday. I don't know if you'll be listening to this on Saturday, but we're recording on Friday. Qualifying is at 10 a.m. Eastern time, and the race is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. So let's preview. Who's going to have a good weekend?
Lewis Hamilton. Podium finish coming.
Okay. I'm going to say that Alonso is going to have a good weekend just because he's so cranky that he needs to get a little good karma.
All right.
All right. Bad weekend.
What other fan base can I trigger? Let's go Lando. Lando's having a bad weekend.
Okay. Lando. And I will say that it's going to be a bad weekend for George Russell.
Okay. All right.
You said Lewis is going to have a good weekend, so I had to say that George is going to have a good weekend so that all the people that are saying that George is like the mega talent that's unseated Lewis and is destroying him can just kind of go eat their words.
All right, that's fair.
And then what else are we going to go for? Are we going to go for surprise Q3? Or are we done doing that one?
We're starting to get too obvious with that one, but I think for the next two we can keep it in there because there's usually some surprise.
All right, so surprise Q3.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. Sorry, I said let's keep it in there. Then I was like, oh, who's racing again? Let's say surprise Q3. Alex Albon. That okay. Red hair continues.
Did you see that, I guess? Yas Capito, and who else has their hair dyed red now, too? Somebody else I just saw.
Yeah, one of the other important people there. I forget.
Why can't I think of who it was? I don't remember, but yeah, everyone's dyeing their hair red. All right, so surprise Q3 for me is going to be... And let's say Lance Stroll. Oof. And I feel terrible saying that, but, you know, he made Q3 last week. Maybe he'll continue, and Aston Martin's new Red Bull design will work out for them.
All right. Yeah, watch, like, we've been, like, dogging Aston Martin and their, like, design copy, and they go out and, like, get, like, a double podium. I'm not predicting that. Please don't write that down.
No, I'm not writing it down, but how did it feel to say that?
Uncomfortable, sad. Like, Lawrence Stroll is standing behind me with a knife. Like, say something nice about me.
So wait, did you hear that everybody's speculating that... I mean, people have been speculating for a long time already about this, that Vettel is going to retire after this season, and then Alonso is going to go to that Aston Martin seat as, like, a one last... Hail Mary.
I don't know. I guess right now I would say that's a terrible idea. Things could change. Maybe halfway through the season or later through the season on the Aston Martin upgrades. I don't think it will, but it could. But yeah, I wouldn't do that.
But Alonso's really good at making the wrong switch, right? Like at the. Making the switch at the wrong time, so that'll probably happen. Like Alpine will win the title right after he leaves.
Yeah. Okay. I want it to happen just for that reason.
Because that's what he's done. Like at least I would say 3 times or so.
Yep.
Because like he left McLaren in 2007 or after 2007, and yeah, and he. He left Ferrari like right when they were really getting good, I think.
Yeah, because then Vettel came in, right?
Yeah.
My timeline is a little screwy. I haven't had enough coffee yet today, but
And then, I mean, he left McLaren, right, as they were getting good after his whole comments. Not like he was going to win a championship GP2 with engine. That, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, make sure to set your grid rival lineup. Actually, by the time you listen to this, it's probably too late. I know some people
don't
got
set
hit
it
by
so
DD.
That we can move up the.
Yeah. Don't the set it. Don't set it.
I'm 11th right now in the grid, in the league.
I think I'm like 22nd, which is not bad considering where I started. So
we're moving up.
It is what it is. We'll keep it short. Enjoy the F1 race. Enjoy Indy 500 qualifying, whatever you happen to be watching this weekend. Listen to this during it. And we will be back next week to do a recap and preview the snoozer of Monaco. Everybody have a lovely weekend of racing.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.